It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Friday, November 13th. I'm Patricia Naft. The Grand Junction Police Department says two officers were struck by a vehicle on Wednesday. The officers were investigating an accident when the driver of a truck allegedly disobeyed a traffic diversion and hit the two officers. Grand Junction Police Department say the pair were uninjured. However, 67-year-old Denzel Harward, the driver of the truck, was charged with reckless endangerment and obstructing an officer. A suspicious device at a gas station in Telluride prompted a multi-agency emergency response on Wednesday. The San Miguel County Sheriff's Office says it received a report of a cylindrical device on top of a fuel pump at the local Conoco station. Deputies couldn't identify the item that had a wire or cable attached to it. Telluride hazmat technicians performed analytics for chemical, nuclear, and explosives, which were all negative. The sheriff's office also consulted the Grand Junction Police Department bomb squad and the FBI. Officials say the device was determined to be an unusual industrial electrical component, and it may have fallen off a service vehicle, and then someone placed it on the pump. A recent study from Colorado State University shows no evidence of dangerous contaminants in drinking water sources above oil and gas fields along the Front Range. Inside Energy's Dan Boyce has more.
CSU scientists have been monitoring groundwater in an oil and gas formation called the Denver-Julesburg Basin. And good news, the really bad compounds people need to be worried about, stuff like barium and chromium, there was no evidence of that stuff leaking into drinking water from oil and gas wells. Now, about 2% of the drinking water sources tested did have evidence of methane, which can be from oil and gas drilling or natural sources. Methane is flammable, but it's not toxic and isn't considered a big factor in drinking water safety. CSU says there are 30,000 active or abandoned oil and gas wells in the Denver-Julesburg Basin. For Inside Energy, I'm Dan Boyce.
Climate change may conjure up images of polar bears and rising sea levels, but it's already at the doorstep of farmers. In a small town in Colorado, growers are looking for a way to adapt. As part of a special collaboration, High Country News' Paige Blankenbuehler and KVNF's Jake Ryan have the story.
About 20 growers are here at a workshop in Paonia. They're here to find solutions. They're here because they're worried. According to NOAA, this year is on course to be the hottest year in recorded history. And with greenhouse gas emissions increasing, we're closing in on a global temperature rise of more than 2 degrees Celsius. What many scientists agree is a point of no return in avoiding the most dangerous impacts of climate change.
And things are felt more acutely here. Because it's mostly arid, mountainous, and largely rural, the West sits in the crosshairs of the most profound impacts from climate change. Substantial changes have already affected growing cycles and yields for agriculture, a huge part of the Western economy and culture. Many small communities are rising up to address the challenge of food security. At this panel discussion, one expert talked about the drastic change he's personally studied in these mountains. David Inouye has researched Western Colorado wildflowers for 37 years. And when he started, he had no idea the high alpine blooms would be such a harbinger for what's happening in the area.
Since 1973, I've been looking at the timing of flowering, which is known as the phenology of flowering. And it turns out that some of the changes that I'm seeing there, like longer growing seasons and earlier growing seasons, and changes in the flowering abundance of some species are similar to the kinds of things that seem to be going on here in the North Fork Valley. So the changes in growing season, an increased frequency of frost damage is something that I'm seeing up in the wildflowers, but is also showing up here in agriculture in the North Fork Valley.
As the climate shifts, some farmers might benefit from longer growing seasons, but others may face early blooms and late frosts. But adapting to a fast-changing environment becomes a question of scale. While pulling up the stakes to go may be more feasible for some small-scale growers, vast orchards and vineyards can't relocate so easily.
During the panel discussion, Inouye talked about that.
If you're worried about the tomatoes in your backyard, it's pretty easy to build a little plastic greenhouse and and protect those. If you're talking about a 25 or 30 acre orchard, then it's a completely different scale in terms of trying to protect those plants.
They're not the first to recognize the difficulty of transitioning large operations. Further west, California communities have faced extreme and prolonged drought. And because the state has a variety of climates, farmers have had to adapt in a number of ways. I spoke with Renata Brillinger, the executive director of the California Climate and Agriculture Network, which is helping large-scale commercial farmers face new realities. She says revamping infrastructure, though, has its own unique challenges.
This movement towards more awareness of the importance of local food, of supporting your farmer, of these markets that are opening up for growers to direct market, these are all really exciting developments. I think they'll remain somewhat at the edges, though, until we really address the bigger policy questions and the economic questions that make it challenging to stay in business.
Local eating seems like a great idea, but in practice, overhauling policies are restricted by global agricultural trade networks.
And it's an issue faced by farmers not just in California. In the coming weeks, world leaders will gather in Paris for the United Nations climate talks. And recently, Hilal Alver, an expert on global climate change based at the University of California, Santa Barbara, said another 600 million people could suffer malnutrition by 2080. Meanwhile, global population continues to rise, expected to hit 8.5 billion in just 15 years. That's a lot of hungry mouths. Looking at all this, it's almost overwhelming.
Pete Kolbenschlag, the organizer of the Paonia panel discussion, knows that food security affects everyone.
If you care about what you're eating and you care about what's on your plate and you care about feeding other people and feeding the planet, then we need to care about climate change because climate change is going to impact our food supply.
In this small room, local farmers are gathered in a circle and talk about establishing a food sharing network, a local agricultural currency, and social media strategies. Panel experts even talked about technology that monitors soil moisture to prevent overwatering. These are specific solutions. They haven't solved the big problem by any means, but at least they're not tackling the challenge alone. For High Country News, I'm Paige Blankenbuehler.
And for KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.